Well, I was born overheated beneath the blue black sky. They tried to cool me off. Nice try.
All right, put on your leather jacket and shades, climb onto your bike, and zoom down the endless blacktop with us, because we are going nowhere fast. And you are listening to a special Patreon-exclusive episode of the Uncut Gems podcast. It is January 2024, and today we are beginning a new artist career marathon, excited to say, and this is the first entry in the new series. More on that in a second, because first off, my name's Randy.
And my name is Echo.
And we are not alone. Super happy to have with us returning voices, good friends, the great Nicolo Grasso and Jack Luke Sharp. How's it going, guys?
Hello. Thank you for having me. I'm very, very happy to be here in the new year to help kick off a new director's marathon retrospective. I love saying retrospective, but I know they're usually marathons. So yeah, I'm excited to be here.
It is, yeah.
It's kind of buzz, yeah.
I'm happy to be on the podcast. I'm not happy to be here. We'll get into that later. This film, I really have issues with. But no, I think it's. Exactly.
Guns blazing, Jesus.
Right, yeah. Yeah. Well, I've got to. New year, new
shoots
me.
From the hip. This one.
Yeah. I don't know. I was going to continue that sort of line, but I don't know what else to say back. But
okay, yeah, let's put a pin in it. We'll get to it.
My name is Jack. 1 out of 5.
I'm out. See you.
No, there's more nuance to it than that. But I'll probably.
What is this? Like a new year, new me? Or
no. I'm gonna really hammer this fucker. But no, it's nice to be back. I feel like it's been a while since I've been on here. It feels like it was like last December. I was meant to do Terror Train, and I watched it, and I couldn't make it, and that was a fucking blessing in disguise, because that, I was just hoping to God you wouldn't have, like, the 4-star it, and you bombed it, which I'm glad, because that film is deplorable at best, but yeah, I'm happy to be talking about another film that isn't very good. Again.
Well, so, welcome, Jack.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Okay, before we get started, a quick shout out to those of you listening and those of you who are supporting us on Patreon. Thank you so much to all of you folks out there. Nicolo, you're one. Thank you for doing what you do and supporting us. Sarah, Rich, there's a bunch of you out there. So thank you very much to our Patreons. Jakob and I, and sometimes our friends, such as today, we just get together and talk films each weekend. And it's a big decompression thing for our busy weeks. We enjoy it. We love talking film. Mumbling and rambling our way through our thoughts.
Aren't you sweet?
We know we're niche, and the simple fact that there are folks out there who support us means the world to us. And also, it helps us with the monthly expenses. So thank you. So today, as I mentioned, we're beginning a new career marathon. In 2022, we comprehensively went through David Lynch's films. We just finished a month ago going through the last of John Cassavetes films. So on our Patreon, we have a full John Cassavetes directorial filmography marathon for you to enjoy. And beginning today, we will be talking monthly about the films of Kathryn Bigelow. We're going to discuss them all, the bigs and the lows.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we're going to do.
Big and low, baby.
I see what you did there.
Which one this is going to be, I wonder.
I've been doing this for like 3 months in advance because we're just like, this is going to be amazing. We're going to big and low, baby.
Yeah. So anyway, I think that might be the first time I dropped it. But anyway, okay, there it is. Just a reminder, over on our main show, which you can find anywhere where you get your podcasts, our January theme is Liam Neeson's Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, where we're talking about a number of Neeson's latter-day thrillers. So go check those out. If you tuned into our Patreon release last week, you'd have heard our conversation on Taken and our in-depth analysis of Maggie Grace, a 26-year-old actress who had specialized training to learn how to run like a 12-year-old in order to play a 17-year-old. So we talked about that at quite a bit of length. That was fun. And for completionist's sake, just to get through everything we're doing in January, earlier, and this is sort of a biggie, we finished our Steven Soderbergh Shallow Cut series with our magical discussion about Magic Mike's Last Seduction. So yep. Go check that out. We talked mics and MILFs and dancing in the rain and whether or not your new IKEA furniture can support the body weight of bumping and grinding. Very interesting conversation. And that wrapped up our Soderbergh project.
The $3 pays for itself. That episode alone.
Absolutely.
When I'm not on here, awesome. I honestly, like the gap I have what you guys have been talking about to what an hour's on is fucking frightening. It grows too worrying every single day. But please continue because I'm frightened to death what's yet to come.
We invented like 20 different alternative titles to this movie, among others, like Magic Mike's Last House on the Left and Magic Mike's Last Crusade.
Magic Mike's Last Tango in Paris. It's fantastic. So I said that wrapped up the Magic Mike's Last American in Paris. That wrapped up our Patreon series. That was just half of it. We also had a special episode release on our main show, episode 154.5, our Steven Soderbergh Newman, where we sort of wrapped up the whole project. We talked about our favorite Soderbergh films. We ranked them. We talked about his two Spalding Gray entries. So go check that out on the main show. That was fun. So that's another project in the can. So reminder, if you're listening to us on the main show feed, this audio will trail away after 15 minutes, but don't worry.
Which is just about ahead. Now.
Probably the way I ramble. So before I disappear, you can get the whole thing at www.patreon.com/uncutgemspod. Sign up. You can get all the marathons I mentioned. And today we have a very special episode for you because we're beginning our 10 episode series talking about the films of Catherine Bigelow. And just maybe before we totally jump into that, I just wondered about maybe quickly doing a roundtable to just get your thoughts on Catherine Bigelow. Are you guys fans of her? Have you seen many of her films? Just a quick couple thoughts just to introduce our discussion as we're jumping into an entire new adventure on a new filmmaker. So maybe I'll just sort of throw that out to the panel before we get going in earnest. What do you guys think of Catherine Bigelow? Who would like to jump on that?
No, at once.
I can start.
Go for it.
I never know when to jump in. You can point at me and be like, start. I can start with this. I have generally, surprisingly so, mixed feelings about Catherine Bigelow. Looking at her filmography at a glance, it looks like I would love all of her movies. You know, we're talking exploration of masculinity, homoeroticism, action cinema. Like, it's all themes and genres that are dear and near to my heart. She moves around very sensitive topics about police violence and police brutality, abuse of force, terrorism. So she has a very interesting career and very varied in a way, but pretty much all of her movies always struggle to connect with me on an emotional level. I generally think that they start strong. Like, the first half of almost all of her movies are just, like, on point. And then just, I don't know, the pacing is a bit wobbly, they go on for too long, something gets lost in the shuffle. I don't know, but they never really pack a punch for me. Which is why I'm interested to join you guys, not necessarily on every episode, but on this year-long journey going through her filmography, because I've seen pretty much all of them except two. I still have to watch The Hurt Locker, which I know is a big, like, big blind spot for someone who's seen I've almost seen like 7K movies and not The Hurt Locker. And I also haven't seen Strange Days and K-19. And I think like those two are going to be very much, especially Strange Days, I think it's going to be like a Nick film. So we'll see. Maybe I'm going to change my opinion about her by the time we get to Detroit come December. Who knows? But yeah, generally speaking, I respect her more than I like her.
Mm-hmm. I'll jump in here because I'm going to sort of echo this. I sort of agree with Nick. Most of my cinematic viewing of Catherine Bigelow has not necessarily been forced, but it's been within the vacuum of Blockbuster. So I remember when my first film consciously of hers was The Hurt Locker in 2009 when it was going against Avatar. I remember people like, I don't know if anyone remembers this, but you couldn't buy the DVD of The Hurt Locker when it first came out. Every fucker was buying it. And I remember it was just like, everyone was like, it's the most paranoid film, it's so claustrophobic, like the anxiety. And I remember we watched it one evening, I still remember it, and I thought it was good. I think looking back on that, I wouldn't necessarily know my thoughts on it, but I think it's a strong film. And after that, the progression would be just sort of a blockbuster. So after that, it would be the likes of Detroit. Well, it would have been Zero Dark Thirty after, which I think generally is amazing. It's a monster of a picture. I think Detroit's another monster of a picture. But then I sort of went back and you look at the films that you forget about. So I've seen K-19. With Harrison Ford and Liam Neeson, and I've seen Point Break.
It's a sequel to K-9. Sorry.
Yeah, but yeah, Jim Belushi's in the trunk, left it in the fucking port. Yeah, he's left in the.
That's another vehicle too for Liam Neeson month. Totally forgot. Yeah, submarines.
Hopefully doesn't save him.
Jim Belushi, planes, trains, automobiles, and submarines, also known as giant metal tubes filled with men.
Sorry, Jack.
If that's what you're into, that's what you're into. So I then realized I've seen Point Break and K-19. I'm sort of mixed on K-19, but I'm also with my boy Keanu Reeves on Point Break. After that, everything has sort of been forced. When I did my master's in Newcastle, Near Dark was on the curriculum, and I watched that as well, not knowing it was Catherine Bigelow as well, and enjoyed it. And then you sort of get this. So the only two, I've not seen three. I've not seen Strangers. I haven't seen Blue Steel. I haven't seen the Way of the Water, or The Weight of the Water, sorry, with Sean Penn and Elizabeth. Yeah, my grown men was obviously.
Seen that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the one we've all seen, isn't it? Yeah, she's definitely a filmmaker who is interesting, because I also agree with Nick on the opinion of I respect her as a filmmaker. I've seen a large portion of her filmography. Some of them are 5 stars. I wouldn't go and say I'm a massive fan of her. I don't necessarily know why. My thoughts on Catherine Bigelow is she has this very interesting viewpoint of either psychoanalyzing, if it's consciously or subconsciously, whatever, of masculinity. It's so prominent in every single one of her features. If it's not even Jessica Chastain in Zero Dark Thirty, it's sort of the output of a woman having to do that job. The sentiments of a man would have been able to get it done years before, etc., etc. And then she's surrounded by this masculine energy. And then you look at Detroit, which I think is very interesting on masculinity, especially on gender as well. Point Break is another specific example. Near Dark, and then this. But it's interesting because I think she's been catalogued as that, if anything. Because she's had a very interesting career, because she's gone the independent, then she's made the mid-tier action vehicle, and then she's gone for like the blockbuster in a sense, not necessarily as what we know it now, but definitely an elevated sense of, or a heightened sense.
It kind of used to be what people did do, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's like the Ridley Scott vehicle of its time.
It's not like let's do Safety Not Guaranteed and then just jump straight into Jurassic World.
Yeah,
okay?
yeah. We need to not go down that road.
People and then Thor Ragnarok.
Fuck yeah, hell. It's an interesting. She's had to work to get to the point of Detroit, which I think is interesting. Considering if you want to analyze that and use critical thinking about again gender in her department of being a filmmaker is an interesting one. But like Nick, I haven't seen this film. I've known of it for a long time, but I hadn't seen it. I'm also very intrigued to watch this filmmaker grow and see it in real time, the same as I did with Bob Fosse. Because that's another filmmaker that I hadn't sort of appreciated or known, and then done it organically to watch it and found a really interesting and sort of invigorating aspect of watching a filmmaker grow. This is going to be slightly different, but I just look at a filmography here, and every time there's a really good film, she follows it up with something that's either substandard or just eerily similar, but not very good. And I've read Nick's review, and I don't want to spoil anything else, but I completely agree with Nick's sentiments on this film entirely. But I know that's yet to come. But as a filmmaker, she's incredibly talented. I think to do Zero Dark Thirty, Hurt Locker, and Detroit, and be married to James Cameron in a lifetime is quite frightening. I think I don't wish that on anybody. But she's a filmmaker who has a certain energy and a certain eye for a medium, and she's evolved wonderfully with it, with the camera. She uses a lot more handheld.
If you'd like to listen to this show in its entirety, head over to our Patreon over at patreon.com/uncutgemspod, where for $3 a month you'll be able to hear many other bonus recordings of ours, such as tie-ins to our main show, mini retrospectives, and comprehensive director marathons. patreon.com/uncutgemspod is the place, so head over there and subscribe.